Aren't you glad God knows your heart? He knows our heart. And when we simply cry out, he addresses the needs that we don't even mention. He addresses the needs that just flow through your heart, the burden that flows through your heart and through my emotions and all that. He feels that. We have a high priest, the Bible says, who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he's well suited then to help us and to deliver us in the time of temptation, when we're tempted not to trust, when we're tempted to doubt, the Bible says he's able to help us when we're tempted, for he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so he's been equipped, he's suited to be our high priest. We have a high priest who's been touched with every feeling that you and I feel. My God, that makes me feel good. He came and he lived and he died so that he could be acquainted with our sorrows and our griefs, and all of it he knows. All of it he knows. And so even at times when we can't take it all to him right now, but I know as you do, like I do, when you go into prayer before the Lord and you bow on your knees and you say, oh God, he knows. He knows. He knows. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Hallelujah. Well, I think I'm going to skip the greeting today. Everybody say, greeting. Well, there it is. Glory to God. There's the greeting. Amen. Amen. We're going to skip that. We're going to move right into the word. I don't want to lose, where we are. I feel that we're at a place. Could you make that announcement after we're done? Thank you, honey. Amen. There'll be some calendars around after we're done. Amen. But I do want to, let me see here. It's two, this clock is wrong. So it's after 3, am I right? Okay. So I'm going to skip the greeting because I feel like, I want to get to this word, because you and I need to hear from God, right? You and I, now, you're not just saying that because, I know I heard that amen, and I know the people that said amen, and I know you're not saying it just to say amen, but you really believe that we need to hear from God.
Amen.
We talked about last week about hearing the voice of God, and I'm persuaded all the more this week, more so even than I was last week, as David was walking up and exhorting us and saying that he heard the Father said, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." Now I believe that David wasn't the only one who needed to hear that this past week. I believe that everybody under the sound of my voice, and many people who aren't, needed to hear that we were all were anxious about something this week. We were anxious. I had a young lady, we were just praying for a young lady who I've been corresponding with, who used to be in the church, and she's getting out of jail on Wednesday, and she wrote me and said, Pat, I have nowhere to go. When I come out, I'm homeless. And she's got children and on and on and on. And I began to feel a measure of anxiety over that. I began to say, well, Lord, what can I do? And the only thing I knew to do at the time was to pray. Because God knew that whole situation would come into my life. I would be impacted by it before yesterday. And God, as David was saying, God, I got your back. That's all today's vernacular. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And so Father says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We looked at Ezekiel chapter 16, I believe it was, last week, when God was telling the nation of Israel that in the beginning, in their nativity, God saw them struggling in their own blood. And he said to them, live. Live. When God says to the dead, live, guess what happens? They live. Huh? Ezekiel 47, there was a valley of dry bones, and God told Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones. And when Ezekiel began to prophesy, the bones came alive. They came together, and sinew came up, and before long, God said, prophesy. The breath to come into, and breath, and the army stood up on its feet, an exceedingly great army, all because God spoke. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm walking around all this week, and this thought kept just going through my mind, just kept feeding on this thought. One of the greatest things that has ever happened for you and I in our total existence is this: God spoke. The greatest thing that has ever happened, Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on and says, and God said. Listen, nothing happened before God said. Listen, before God made us, Genesis 1, 26 says this, and God said, let us make man. Even before you and I were created, it was predicated upon God speaking. God said something. That's why I'm very careful these days and listening to what, even when I get in a frivolous mood, a kind of a jovial mood, you know, and everything, I have to be careful with what I say. Because I still have to remember I'm made in the image of God. And because he speaks, we speak. And he's creative with his word. Listen, God is, he's so wonderful, he's so beautiful, he's so magnificent. God has never said anything that he did not mean to say. Oh, my God, he's so not like us. Let me say that again. God has never said anything that he didn't mean to say. But you and I, beloved, we say all kinds of things that we don't mean to say. You see, when God speaks, it's altogether different than when we speak. See, because when God speaks, creation comes into motion. Listen, God never speaks that something is not created. Never. Never. Why? Because when he speaks, his very words are creative. His very words. Listen, you and I don't speak, but that something is created. Well, come with me now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Come on. Don't ever say to your child, you'll never amount to anything, because you just created something that will go into that child and work its way out of self-fulfilling prophecy. What you say, you will have. Come on. And so it's very important that, first of all, that God spoke. And I thought, you know, when we're going through this book of Hebrews, you know, I thought a couple of years ago, I'm just going to expositorily go through the book of Hebrews. That's all I had in my mind. But how many of you know that when you decide to go down a road, that some of your inclinations and all of that has been designed by God. And God is going to have his way when we go down that road. And so I had no idea that what I'm seeing, I had no intention of seeing what I'm seeing these days. And as I read through the scripture, I'm thinking, my God, I never, this was not my intention. He said, yeah, I know, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. So my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But when I look at this scripture and when I look at what the Hebrew writer is trying to communicate with these Jews, with these Hebrews, we're in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. You know it, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Abel, by faith, Abraham, by faith. Okay, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's all about faith. And yet, what I've been trying or what I've been getting out of this time around, see, because I'll go through it another time and God will speak something totally different. Why? because there's so much I don't know about the scripture, right? And so God opens up the scripture. But what the Lord's been impressing upon my heart is this, that faith, 2 Corinthians 4:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so then that if man has faith, we have faith first because God has initiated something, and that is that God has spoken. So the writer of Hebrews is taking that. I keep have to go over this. I feel like I really need to keep to bring this into context of how of the scripture and how it's being written. And so the writer is going through all of these acts of faith to show the Jewish people, to show these Hebrew people, whatever you do, don't give up your faith. Hebrews 10:39, because your faith has great recompense of reward. Your faith has a reward attached to it. Okay? Now, when I say reward, we all, you know, because we live in this world, we all think about an earthly reward. Get that out of your mind. there's a reward, there's a heavenly reward waiting for you and I, the likes of which your mind could never wrap around. Your mind will never wrap around what God has in store. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 2 says that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, right? And so he says that I want you to hold on to your faith, and he lists all the works of faith. But this is what the Lord's been saying to me, son, your faith starts with me. We know that God is the author and finisher of our faith. But I must say this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word of God. And that if that's true, then, beloved, I not only have to hear from God one time in my life, and not two times, not three times. I need to hear from God on a continual basis. Who knows? Do you know? Who knows how God wakes you and I up every morning? Do you know? It could be that he says, and all of a sudden you think you woke up, but could it be God breathed? Do you know when God made Adam? Do you know how God woke him up? The Bible says he just went, and God's exhale became man's inhale. And from that point, man has been living ever since. And so so we need to hear from God. We need a word from God. When we were singing, How Great Is Our God, it said, darkness trembles at his voice. I thought, my God, my God. Everything trembles. Psalm 29 says that the mountains quake when God speaks. The Bible says that when God speaks, the calves, the deers give birth. Talking about the thunder, because back then, the thunder was associated with the voice of God. But the voice of God is powerful. The voice of God is full of majesty. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. And so I want to move on now to this one verse of scripture. Last week we were looking at, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And then our text for today. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, as your written word is read, as we consider the scripture, Father, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak. We would hear. Jesus said that those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. I pray that there would be life flowing out of this word. That would life come to your people. They would hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, and be changed. We would be renewed and strengthened and restored. Lord, that we would be filled with faith and of the Holy Spirit to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 32 says, the writer is going on and on. He says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. I want to stop. This is the verse we're going to deal with today. And we're only going to deal with one person. He said, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Oh, Gideon is one of my favorites. I like Gideon. Because Gideon, I see so much of us, amen, and me in Gideon. But I want to look at this. The title of the message is called Simply Through Faith. Through faith, because it says in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And all of what we're going to look at in these characters over the next few weeks, all that they did through faith. Well, today we're going to be talking about the faith of Gideon. I just want to make a few observations. So to look at this, I need to take you back to Judges chapter 6 and verse 1 so that we can get a little bit of the backstory on Gideon. Stay with me as we go back here. Joshua judged Ruth. Amen. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 so that we can get to verse 11. Hallelujah. So if you haven't read your Bible this week, here you go. So then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. And so it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. We know that this is the reason why the Lord sent them into bondage. Well, because they had done evil, so it was judgment, but also it was to bring about a response in his people, and that was so that Israel could cry out. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And so here we see just in the backstory, we hear the fact that God has been speaking. Listen, God speaking in my life and your life is extremely important. It's very important, okay? And so, you know, many people will say, well, Pastor, how does God speak today? You know what I mean? You know, does he use prophets? Yes, he uses prophets. Use dreams and visions? Yes, he uses dreams and visions. He uses all of that. But the primary way, he uses the unction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is resident within us. But the primary way God speaks is by the fact that he's already spoken. He's already spoken. The writer of Hebrews, in speaking about the voice of God and taking the people and showing them that their faith is tied to initial work of God, do you know what Hebrews 1:1 says? God, who in times past, the scripture says, in various ways and at sundry times, God spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, who being the brightness of his, he talks about him being the brightness of his image, the express image of his glory, that Jesus is everything that the Father is to us. He's the express image of his person. And so God is no longer speaking that way through the prophets and all of that. He's speaking to us through Jesus. He's speaking to us through his Son. So here the children of Israel, They've heard the voice of God. God said, I brought you out of bondage, but they find themselves back in bondage. Why were they in bondage? Because they didn't listen to the voice of God. God was speaking to them. Listen, beloved, the same thing is true for you and I today. If God speaks to us and we do not listen to what God says, we will find ourselves in bondage. We will find ourselves tied up. Come on. If God says, spend less than you make, and you spend more than you make, you will find yourself in financial bondage. Come on. If God says, love your neighbor as yourself, and we don't love our neighbor as yourself, we find ourselves at odds with our neighbor, lost our witness, everything goes down here. And so we need to understand that when God speaks, listen, treasure it. Look for it. My God, when you hear it, it's like, oh, I hear that wonderful voice. I hear that wonderful voice. I believe it was Moses was exhorting someone after church last Sunday. It may have been me and Carl or me and Stephen. He was talking about how Elijah was running from Jezebel, and he ran into the cave, and he wanted to hear from God. And it said that a wind came and tore into the rocks, and God wasn't in the wind. And there was an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But lo and behold, after all of that, a still, small voice. You know, a lot of people looking for this big boom. You know, oh, that was God, you know. No. They're looking for fire to come down from heaven. Oh, God has spoken. We better obey. No. Still, small voice. Listen, it's so still and so small that you feel like, well, I don't have to listen to that. You can just go on about your way. You know? Still, small voice. Is he speaking today? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Give us an ear, Lord. Help us. David keeps talking about this spiritual earwax. Lord, help us to get this spiritual earwax. Amen. And so let me deal now. Let me go down to our text. Verse 11 says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth, or oak tree, which was in Ophrah. Hear Ophrah in the scripture. And so the oak tree that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, I get so excited when I read scriptures like this, because the Bible says, it's so many times I think about Abraham, I think about Samson's mother. So many times the people of God are in bondage, or we're just going on with our life. Abraham was sitting in a tent door on a hot day, and the Bible says, the Lord appeared with two angels and just walked up to Abraham. Here, Gideon's got this little bit of wheat, and he's threshing it in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And God shows up sitting under a tree. Does God show up in your life? He just walks in. He just comes in. He's there. Listen. You didn't call it. You didn't make it happen. You didn't work for it to make it happen. Listen, it's all on God's initiative. Why? Because I keep saying this, because he keeps saying it to me. Son, it's me first. You better know that if it ain't good's going to happen, it's because I'm going to start it. That's what he says to me. You better know that if anything redemptive is going to happen, it's going to be because I started. Why? Because I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning of it all. I'm the one who does it. Now, see, if there was a man talking like that, we would say, isn't he arrogant? And rightfully so. But when God talks like that, he's talking perfectly correct. It is right because he is God. And so when he shows up that way, I just get all beside myself because I see him showing up like that in circumstances on a daily basis. I see him showing up. And I said, oh, my God. I said, Lord, I don't have anything to worry about doing. He said, no, you never have anything to worry about. But see, that's up to you. That's up to you, because I've said it now, but then now you have to believe. You have to believe what I've said. Okay? So here, the angel of the Lord. Now watch this. The angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. Let me see here. He says to him in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord, now let me say, you know the angel of the Lord, this is capital A in your Bible, is that right? Capital A, this is a theophany, this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. This is the angel of the Lord. Joshua chapter 5, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua before he went into Jericho. And Joshua, that angel told Joshua, take your shoes off your feet. Same thing he told Moses. Joshua fell down and worshiped the angel of the Lord. Angels do not receive worship. They cannot receive worship. This is the same angel. This angel was Jesus, pre-incarnate appearance. It was Christ himself, and he receives worship. And so this angel of the Lord says to Gideon, he appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And what I like about this is that the angel didn't show up. He shows up and he addresses Gideon, but he doesn't address Gideon's circumstance. Now Gideon is threshing wheat in the wine press. And when you look at it, you say, that's not might. To me, that's not. Now, see, in my mind, now this is man talking. Let me tell you who was a mighty dude for me, okay? This boy, now David is king, you know, everyone knows David king. But David had somebody in his life that mirrored him. And his name was Jonathan. And Jonathan was a mighty man of valor. Because Jonathan, when the children of Israel were under bondage to the Philistines, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, he said, you know what? You see that garrison, which is just a stronghold where soldiers are, you know, he says, and that garrison is in Israel, okay? They're occupying Israel. Be like Afghanistan, they're saying, we're going to go over and take the Americans. We're going to go over and take that whole thing. And Jonathan said, I believe the Lord's with us. Let's go take it. And the armor bearer said, my heart is with your heart. Whatever you do, I'm with you. And Jonathan went over there, and guess what they did? They took it. Now, to me, that's a bad dude, right? That's mighty, okay? That's mighty. But God says to Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Why? Because God calls those things that be not as though they are. You see, the reason why God said, I am with you, you mighty man of valor, because he was calling out might in Gideon. Listen. God calls you what you aren't so that you become what he calls you. That's why it's so important for us to hear from God. Listen, we need to hear. If there's anything, people call you all kinds of things. Don't listen at that. But when God calls you, listen. When he calls you, listen. So when he said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor, God was calling him into a destiny. He was calling him into something that Gideon needed to become, that he could not become without God's voice, without God speaking into his life. You say, does he do that? Oh, listen. Listen. He calls me son. He doesn't call me Pat or Patrick or anything. He calls me son. When he calls me son, I'm a little boy. I get all beside myself. So when daddy calls me, oh God, it's just like, say it again, say it again. Oh Lord, why? Because he's calling me into a place where I already am in Christ, but that I will eventually fully realize at the resurrection. Son, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us in that he calls us the children of God. 1 John 3:1. All right. So the angel of the Lord made a declaration to encourage Gideon, who was in the circumstance. Listen, he spoke to Gideon, who was in the circumstance, who he was going to use to change the circumstance. Now, I'm going to say it again because I don't think we have made the connection yet. God spoke to Gideon, who was in the circumstance, whom God would use to change the circumstance. Okay, so see, listen. When we're in the circumstance, this is what we want. God, change the circumstance. Every one of us. You ain't got to put your hand up. You don't have to nod in agreement. I know we all, God, change this circumstance. But no. When God knows all, listen, know this for sure. God knows all about your circumstance. He knows everything. He knows all. But what does he do? He doesn't show up to Gideon and says, your circumstances are changed. He doesn't do that. He shows up. He shows up to Gideon, and he speaks to the one in the circumstance. Listen, he always changes you in the circumstance so that you can change the circumstance. He ain't going to change it. Oh, I feel like running. I feel like running. I feel like taking a jog. My God, listen, I'm looking at that and I think, for real?
Yes.
Yes. See, he speaks to you. And he's going to change you. And then he's going to use you to change the circumstance. But our eyes are always fixed on the circumstance. I'll go back to my good friend over there, Mary. Oh, Lord. Mary stood up here and testified how she was waiting on this financial aid. And she's pleading with the Lord. And she said, Lord, I've done everything, haven't I? Is there anything else to do? And she's going, and yes, she wants this circumstance changed. She's like, Lord, I need this financial, and rightfully so. But I have this feeling in my spirit that God wasn't concerned about the financial aid. Listen, God can fix financial aid. Like, listen, he can take your circumstances just like that. That's not the focus. What is he after? He's after you who are in the circumstance. And what he's after is faith and trust in me. I'll change the circumstances. Like Mary said, on that beautiful day that it came, or late at night when nothing was supposed to come, she checked her email box, and there it was. That they had given, they had approved her financial aid. What a blessing. We all stood here and rejoiced with her. Amen? And so when we look at this, when we look at what God is doing in the life of Gideon, when he said it would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, Jephthah and David and the Samuel. Oh Lord, when we get to Samuel, I feel like shouting and preaching right now. I feel like walking on water, right? I just say, oh my God, because God is so good in what he does. He's so good in what he does. Amen. So God spoke to Gideon the way he determined Gideon would be. That is different than what Gideon thought about himself. You know, that God thinks about you and I more than we think about ourselves. Listen, he's called us higher than where we are right now. That's what he was doing to Gideon. Because Gideon was showing anything but might. Amen? Where do we see this in Scripture? Well, we see it in Luke 1, verse 28, where the angel comes in to Mary and says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, at that point, all Mary knew, Mary's like, why you greet me like this? And the angel begins to talk to her and show her that the Lord has called her to be the mother of the Messiah. She didn't know she was going to be the mother of the Messiah. But the angel of the Lord showed her and called her into something. See, by the voice of the Lord speaking to her. And so here we have this angel speaking to Gideon. Come on, sheets. Work with me. Let me say this. When God spoke to Gideon, everything changed. Listen, whenever God speaks, everything changes. Okay? When God spoke to Gideon, When God had finished speaking to Gideon, it opened up a world of potential for Gideon that was not opened before. Why? Because the Lord said, I am with you. Not only that, but he made some promises to Gideon. We'll look at these. But it's very important that we treasure the voice of the Lord. Okay? When God speaks, everything changes for the one to whom he is speaking. There is great opportunity, but one must believe. There is great opportunity, but one must believe. You know, God showed up to Cain, and he said, he met with Cain, and he said, Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? And then the Lord said to him, he said that there's sin is creeping at your door. He said, but you should master it and not let it master you. And he was talking to Cain before Cain slew his brother. But Cain didn't listen to God. God was warning him. And he ended up killing Abel, as you know. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. It's just coming to my mind, so I'm going to go ahead and share it. There's a young lady here in the church who was living at home. She's 13, 14, probably 13. And her mother, her parents were divorced. When her mother would go to sleep, she'd run out the house, party. Woo! You know, she out there with her friends and everything. And so the Lord gave her a dream. And so she has this dream, and she's telling this dream. It was a Wednesday when we had Wednesday night prayer. She's telling this dream in back of the church. And she's telling it to some ladies in the church. I just happened to be walking by, and when I walked by, I heard her telling the dream. The Lord gave me an instant interpretation of the dream. I turned to the girl, and I said to her, I said, let me tell you something. The Lord's giving you a warning. You are to stop what you're doing right now. If you don't, dire circumstances are going to come into your life. Do you understand me? Now, I know you're 13. I know you're young, but I'm telling you. God didn't speak to me. He spoke to you. He gave you the dream. Stop it. Please stop what you are doing. So I gave the interpretation, because she was asking these ladies what the dream meant, and they didn't have an interpretation. So I gave an interpretation, went on. Her family ended up leaving the church not too much longer after that. I happened to be reading a paper one day at my office, and there it was, the article in the paper. Young lady over her friend's house falls asleep on the floor. Man comes in, rapes the 13-year-old girl. She's pregnant now by rape. And they didn't mention her name because she was a minor, but I knew, they gave enough detail, I knew exactly who it was. Knew exactly who it was. And had contacted someone later and found out, yeah, it was her. All because she didn't listen to the voice of God. Now, God speaks, beloved. He speaks. And the majority of it is not like what I just shared. It's not this huge warning, but when he speaks, good or bad, however it comes, when he speaks, listen. When he speaks, we want to hear, amen? And we want to believe. She heard, but she didn't believe. She didn't give heed to the word. John chapter 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 47, a nobleman comes to Jesus because his son is dying at home. And the scripture says in verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, this is interesting. As we look at this real quick. This man comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, please come down. John 4:47. Jesus, please come down. My son is dying. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. So two times, this man is coming to God the Son, and he's saying to the Son of God, please come down before my child dies. Right? Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Now watch this. This man is asking Jesus, come down. Jesus doesn't pay any attention to that. He does not go down, right? But being God, he said, go your way. Your son believes. Jesus gave his word. He gave his word. Go your way. Your son lives. The nobleman asked Jesus to do something. Jesus then commanded him to do something. And that something was to go home believing the word of Jesus. So oftentimes we want God to do something. God, do something. The nobleman said, come down, come down. God said, no. Hear my word. Listen to my word. Do what I'm telling you to do. Go home. Your son lives. Now, the Bible says that the nobleman, he turned around, went on home. It says this. It says, so the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. Huh? Now, what if he had stood there, said, hold on, Jesus. No, I want you to come with me. My son is not come with me. No, he turned around and he went on home. Said he believed what Jesus said, and he went home. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Let me tell you something. That story tells me something. It tells me this. Patrick, at times you want God to do so much when God simply wants you to believe. Believe what I said. Believe what I told you. Believe, believe, believe. So God speaks, but we have to believe. In John 11:40, Jesus said to Martha, when she was at the graveside, Jesus said, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you would simply believe? So God often changes you before he changes the circumstances. Huh? He said to the nobleman, no, you go home. Listen, you go home. Your son lives. What was Jesus doing? He said, if you turn in belief and do what I tell you, he says, your son lives. In other words, he said, we want God to change something, but God says, no, I'm going to change you. You noblemen, believe what I'm telling you and go home. And when he did, now he could have stayed there persisting that Jesus come home with him, but he would have missed God because Jesus already said, go home, your son lives. So God help us to understand and remember that changing the circumstance is easy. We know that. God can do anything anytime he gets ready to. Changing the circumstance is easy. Getting you and I to see God and have faith and trust in him is most of the time the target of the circumstance. All Gideon needed was what the angel of the Lord said to him. And that was that the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Verse 13 goes on and says, Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Here were you and I coming to the pit. Come on now. Moses was praying over us, Jeremiah 33:3, I believe it is, or 31:3. It says, cry out unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. There's so much that we don't know. So much we don't know. But God says, that's okay. Just cry out. Just cry out. And so Gideon, when he cries out, though, Gideon's response is, our response can be much like Gideon's at times, because Gideon got it all wrong, right? First of all, he doesn't know who he's talking to. Verse 13 says, Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, lowercase Lord, if the Lord, capitals, is with us, why then has all this happened to us? So often, we can think that we are all in the right. Gideon was thinking, well, we're all right. Why is this happening to us? Gideon had no clue. Even though the man of the Lord had just prophesied, the prophet of God had prophesied to them that you have not been listening to my voice. But Gideon assumes that the Lord is not with them because of their bondage to the Midianites. He assumed that the Lord was not with them because of their bondage to the Midianites. It was actually quite the opposite. The reason why you're in bondage to the Midianites is because God did it. Not many people said amen there. Yeah, but because God delivered them. Read verse 1. God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. You said, will God do something like that? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says the person who was caught in who was adultery and hadn't repented, Paul said, we're going to take him and deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit might be saved in the end. He said, oh, what are you doing, Paul? We're going to deliver him unto Satan. God delivered the children of Israel into the hands of the Midianites. We're going to deliver a brother to Satan for the destruction of his flesh? Yes. So he will learn, you cannot sin like this. There's no greasy grace. You cannot take advantage of the grace of God and expect to remain safe and be redeemed. No, you can't do that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Right? No. So Paul delivered him to Satan. So Gideon couldn't acknowledge the wrongdoing of the children of Israel, the cause of their bondage, not the Lord. Gideon questions the Lord being with the children of Israel, but that is not what the angel of the Lord said. The angel of the Lord said, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, if the Lord be with us. No, that's not what the angel of the Lord said. The Lord was not with Israel generally, because generally, you know why? They were worshiping false gods. He had stepped back away from them. But when the angel of the Lord came, he says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Why was the Lord with Gideon? Because the Lord was with the deliverer for a specific purpose of delivering Israel from their enemies. All of this I'm sharing with you to try and get us to see where Gideon got his faith from. Because it says, through faith, Gideon, David, on and on and on, right? That's what it says. So, Judges, the next verse, let me finish verse 13. He says, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord has forsaken us? Wrong thinking. Wrong information. The Lord has not forsaken you, but you have forsaken the Lord. That is actually what was going on. And delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Verse 14, then the Lord, notice the change. It didn't say the angel of the Lord. It says the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. The Lord turned. This tells you that this is Christ, the angel of the Lord. This is Christ. Pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. The Lord turned to him. Reminds you of when the Lord turned to a rich young ruler that says that he loved him. You know, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Again, the Lord calling those things that be not as though they were. He's calling Gideon into the might of God. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now listen, here is a prophetic promise. Prophetic in that it's future tense. It's not done yet. He says, you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now if you know anything about Gideon, you will know this. Gideon was a scared man. Gideon was a fearful brother. Now, like us men, like, you know, we're like, I ain't scared of nothing. Let me tell you something. There's some circumstances you can put the boldest and the biggest brother, and he will be crying. He will be running around in circles, you know, trying to keep from losing control of everything because he's so frightened, all right? And so Gideon, if you know the story, just to give you some hints of where Gideon was, later the Lord said to Gideon, okay, because see, the Lord chose Gideon, then Gideon had to choose the Lord. It always works that way. When he chooses you, okay, he made a choice. Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to choose him. So the Lord chose Gideon, and then later on he says this. He says, Gideon, you know that altar that your father is worshiping Baal with? He says, go tear it down. Gideon had to tear down the false idol worship in order to establish true worship. He had to do it. But the Bible says this. He was so scared, he was so afraid that he did not do it by day, that he took some men and he did it by night, so nobody could see him doing it. Let me tell you that he was a fearful man, Gideon was. Then when God sent him down to destroy the Midianites, God said this. First of all, God gave him a dream. Or God gave someone, no. Gideon put out the fleece. God wet the fleece, ground dry. Then the next night, the fleece is dry and the ground is wet. And Gideon says, okay, God's going to do it. You know, he's trying to build up his courage and everything. But that wasn't enough. Because then the Lord said to Gideon, he said, Gideon, if you are still afraid, if you are still afraid, anybody ever done something you were afraid of? You ever been in a situation where you straight up, I'm scared? And the Lord said to Gideon, he says, Gideon, if you are still afraid, take your servant. Go down to the camp of the Midianites, and you're going to hear a dream. And God had given one of the enemies a dream that showed Gideon destroying them. And after Gideon heard that, he puffed out his chest and said, well, bless God, I think we can get on with this now. I think we can get on with it now. You see, and then some people say, your fear cancels out faith. I'm saying, sorry. No. Back that up. No. It's because we have so many things said that we just say loosely. And again, I say that we have to be very careful with what we say, because what we say creates things. And there are people running around thinking because they're a little scared that their faith is canceled, God can't use them. It was David who said, this poor man cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. Come on. Right? And so what I love about Gideon shows us that even if you a little bit afraid, you just got a little wee bit, that God can still use you. Verse 14, the last line, have I not sent you? God commissions Gideon. Just the way Gideon was. God says, I'm going to send you out. I want you to go get something done, okay? Now, what God thinks and says about you is infinitely more important than what anyone else thinks and says about you. I'm going to say that again, see, because God said to Gideon, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, a prophetic promise. God had given him a promise now, right? Says, have not I sent you? So Gideon now has God's commission and assurance of success. He has an assurance of success. You would think that assurance of success would just send you out. No, but you still you. On the inside of here. That's the thing, is that you're still you, right? So the very thing that bothered Gideon, the Lord equipped Gideon to overcome. The very thing that bothered Gideon, which was, you know, he was talking about the Midianites, the Lord equipped him to overcome them, but the problem was that Gideon didn't think so. Gideon didn't think so. Verse 15 reads this way. So he, Gideon, said to him, the Lord, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Sounds like Moses. How can I save Israel? Moses said, but Lord, I can't speak. You know, who am I? Man, any of us ever do that? Any of us think when God calls us to do something, you say to yourself, Lord, who am I? Can I really do that? Can I really do that? Gideon goes on and he says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Congratulations. Can I tell you that? Congratulations. Because if you're the weakest and the least, you're the best candidate that God has. Wait a second. It doesn't work that way. When you sign up for the NFL, the weakest and the least Don't even make the team. Don't talk to me. Criminal? Don't talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Get away from me. And Gideon says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Well, here again, what I said earlier, let me repeat. There's two people in this relationship. There's God the Lord and Gideon. When God says that you're going to destroy the Midianites, who does Gideon focus on? He says, oh, Lord, how can I save Israel? See, we get the focus wrong. And Gideon all focused on himself. The Lord probably, you know, the Lord doesn't argue a lot. I think he's just so wonderful, he doesn't argue. But you and I reading this scripture, we say, come on, Gideon, what's your problem? The Lord said you're going to, the Lord's with you, man. Come on, you can do this. He's all consumed with himself. But if you wait long enough, the next time the Lord tells you to go do something impossible, you and I be the same way, backpedaling to wait a second. Oh, hold on, Lord. How am I going to do that? And you're arguing with the Lord and everything. He says, no, I'm with you. The key point is that the Lord is with you. My goodness. He had such an assurance that the Lord was going to meet him and use him that was coming from the Lord. But he was doubting. He was doubting. Lord, help us to gaze at your greatness. Help us to gaze at who you are and know that anything you use, you can use to bring deliverance, okay, even if it's us. So the Lord wanted Gideon to know that this was all about God while he'd be using you. Where do we see this? We see it all throughout the scripture. Isaiah 40 and 29 reads, he gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. To those who have no might, he increases strength. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. I shared this story with you before. I love it. I'll share it again real quick about the girl who got lost in the Everglades. And the U.S. government, the federal government, and the government of Florida, they had the helicopters up. They had those wind turbine boats, you know, that go all through the water. They had guys down in the water searching the water and everything. This big display. I mean, people were out trying to find this girl. Thousands of people trying to find this girl. And there was this one little meek brother who knew Jesus. He's sitting in his prayer room. He's just sitting there praying. He said, Lord, would you help us find this girl? Holy Spirit said, get up. He got up. He said, go into the Everglades. The Holy Spirit told him, go into the Everglades. He walked into the Everglades. Holy Spirit said, turn right. He went right. He moved over, and he kept following the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit took him right to where the girl was. The government had been searching for days, dogs, everything. They could not find this girl. One man who knew God walked right to where she was, because God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So if you're weak today, Gideon said, I'm the weakest and I'm the least in my father's house. God said, exactly why I chose you. Come on. You've been chosen for the job. Interesting. Samson did his greatest feat of strength after he became weak. The Bible says he killed more at his death than he ever slew with his life. Why? Because he had to come weak first. Why? Because he had to know. See, before Samson thought, this is my strength. I'm going to wield it the way I want to. No. See, when God took it away, you find out, oh, I'm just a weak nothing. Exactly. God gave him his strength back, and he did more after having become weak than he did in all his life. Then 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, Paul says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What is he saying? He's acknowledging the Lord. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. So Paul was getting it right in terms of acknowledging God working in his life, in and through his life. All right. I want to look at just one more verse, verse 16. And it reads this way, and the Lord said to him, surely, here comes another word of assurance. I mean, you have to remember, this is God speaking. The God who says this about himself, I cannot lie. I cannot lie. It's impossible for me to lie. If God were to lie, all of this would not exist. Because what he does is tied to who he is. Come on. He is truth, therefore he cannot tell a lie. Cannot be one and the same. And so the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Man, if I ever heard, boy, if I ever heard a winner, that's it. I mean, the Lord said, I'm going to be with you, and you're going to defeat the enemy. You would think Gideon would jump up and run out of the, whoa, I got it. Gideon went and said, let me go get my sacrifice. Just stay here. Don't leave anywhere. But where did Gideon's faith come from? Gideon's faith, exactly. Gideon's faith comes from the same place our faith comes from. Listen, if you sit down and hear God talking to you, if God comes sit up underneath an oak tree, and start having a conversation with you, when you leave that conversation, Jack, you're going to be jacked up. You're going to be like, yes, I believe I can do this. I'm going to receive what God says. Gideon's faith came from the fact, you go through any of these people's lives in Scripture, any of them, it always starts with God. Samson's mother was just sitting down. I think she was doing something with some grapes or whatever. The angel just showed up. Whoop, here he is. Says you're barren, but you're gonna get pregnant. You're gonna bear a son. And he just starts talking. I mean, God just listen, and he does that all the time. You know, he's showing up to Muslims. Now you can go on YouTube, type in Muslim testimony, and you'll see women showing up. They say, I was in bed, and this man showed up at the end of. He's in a long white robe, and he starts talking to me. Next thing, no, they're saved. Why? Because Jesus just appears and he shows up. People just get saved. They after they talk to Jesus, they have faith in Jesus. And so faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Gideon's faith, where did it come from? It came from hearing God speaking to him. Came from hearing God speaking to him. The assurance of the Lord's presence was the assurance of God, of Gideon's victory over the enemy. So when the Lord gets done talking to you, he gets done talking to me, we're ready to overcome our enemies. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, oh God, Lord, that when you speak, faith is ignited in the hearts of your people. Thank you, oh God, that when you speak, we are changed, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that you change us to change circumstances, that you're using us to move mountains, oh my God, that you're using us, oh God, to change, Lord, that which, Lord, has become a bondage in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that you use us to bring deliverance. But, Lord, you speak into our hearts. You ignite faith and hope and trust in who you are. So now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the word of the Lord would be food to us. Lord, that we would live by it each and every day. And I pray, oh God, that we would hear your voice. We would treasure what we hear. We would long to hear. We would love, oh God, to hear your voice and believe and obey and be instructed, oh God, by the still small voice of your Spirit speaking within. We thank you, oh God, that your word is alive and moving in our lives and bringing forth fruit. fruit that would remain and glorify your son, Jesus. We thank you for it. May it continue all this week. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.